living hell, far from home, shell-shocked and under fire. The life of a soldier on the battlefield or the officer struggling to keep the peace on the Green Line is a lonely one, full of the unknown, of death, injury, and raw fear. Will I ever see my family again? Where, amidst this hell, can there be a God? These are but just some of the pressing anxieties and questions members of the armed forces must live with at war, and two, the living phantoms of their fears and horrific experiences that continue to haunt them upon their return home. Often, many in the armed forces turn to their chaplains, seeking answers to life's most difficult and existential questions. Queries like, what happened to the merciful, the loving, and forgiving God we've come to know? Why has God forsaken us? Even those who don't believe turn to chaplains, hoping for a word of comfort, encouragement, and support.
We've got chaplains in the three services, the Navy, the Army, and the Royal Air Force here.
Bishop Richard Moth heads the Catholic chaplaincy for the armed forces in Britain. He told Lydia O'Kane, it's a humbling job.
And I'm bishop for all of those, and also bishop for Catholic personnel and their families, wherever they are in the world. So I have a diocese with no boundaries, really. We've got numbers of chaplains. We could always do with a few more, but any bishop in any diocese will say that about his numbers of priests. So I think in terms of encouraging the chaplains that we have at the moment, I'm meeting with them. I'm seeking opportunities as time goes along to meet with them individually, to pray with them, to visit where they are. So I'm getting around to see people and to meet with chaplains and those whom they serve. And, you know, that's certainly going to be a kind of continuing, pretty much non-stop program in this particular role as bishop. So it's very much one of presence and support and listening to them and praying for them and with them. And kind of seeking really to serve the chaplains so that they can better serve those in their care. I think that's the way I envisage it.
I was just thinking when you were talking and just looking at, you know, all those soldiers who work on the front line, they must feel that they need God a little bit closer when they're, and therefore the need for a chaplain must be all the more urgent sometimes. Do chaplains find that, or have you found that in the past?
The chaplains do find that. I think combat challenges faith in many ways, obviously. It brings about questions in people's minds. Some people, and you know, looking back through history, one sees this, some people have found faith in war, and for others it's had the reverse effect. It's made faith very difficult for them. And I think to have a chaplain there when you're looking at those questions, when you're facing death in the face, is really very, very important. And I know that our chaplains are playing a very key role in the whole business of care of casualties. They're there with them in the hospitals, very much part of the team in the medical sphere. And that presence is appreciated not just by the casualties, but by the staff too. And even if you have a soldier or a service person who doesn't have a particular faith, the chaplain is somebody who's kind of aside from the chain of command, to whom they can turn, and that's valued too. So the chaplain's role in the armed services is a very broad one and very significant for the people that he serves.
You're dealing with so many different things. It's very diverse. You're dealing with grief, bereavement. You're dealing with counselling. You're dealing with prayer. You're dealing with there's an awful lot rolled into one in that role, and therefore the chaplain has to adapt to dealing with all of these kinds of issues.
That's right. Yes, and of course he's got his own training as a priest and experience in a diocese before he comes to the bishopric of the forces. And then you add to that the training that he does in the Navy, Royal Air Force or Army to enable him to fulfill a role in that setting. So the level of training is high, and you know, he's with his ship or his squadron or his brigade or regiment or wherever he's posted, and he works with them and trains with them. So he becomes one of the family in that sense, someone that is known to everyone, and he really has a place at the heart of things. So, and I think we must also bear in mind, and I would certainly, you know, ask all your listeners to pray, especially or specifically at some point for the chaplains, because they need a lot of support in their role too, and they're with people in these difficult circumstances. They're absorbing a lot, and the support of people's prayer in their work is really important to them.
These prayers give the chaplains new strength to combat the doubts and reinforce the faith of their conflict-hardened flock. Such prayers, in a sense, have been institutionalized in national days to remember war veterans and those who have fallen in conflict. To mark the end of World War I at the 11th hour of the 11th month in 1918, many countries established an Armistice Day, a special national holiday to remember their war dead and veterans. In the U.S., it's called Veterans Day. In the U.K., it's Remembrance Day. It's important that a nation stand behind its troops and support them in prayer, says Bishop Moth. And those Remembrance Days help remind us of the causes and injustices of war so that future generations will not repeat the errors of their predecessors.
It's important to recognize sacrifice, the sacrifice of others. And if we think about it in civil life, there are lots of different ways in which people recognize the sacrifice of people in other contexts. But I think with Remembrance Sunday, we're remembering obviously those who've died in warfare at the defense of their country and their loved ones. And I think it's important for us to continue to do that so that people can learn the lessons of history, really, and also to pray for those who've died and for their families. But also, we remember the Second World War and, of course, the conflicts since as well. And I think in recent years, Remembrance Day has seen a kind of widening appeal almost. Not sure appeal is the right word, but a widening appeal because so many of our armed forces, men and women, are serving abroad. And families are being affected by that.
I was just going to come to a question around what you're just saying there. You know, this generation of people and how they respond to something like Remembrance Sunday, and you're talking about something taking on a new dimension, as it were, especially because when you think of generations now, you kind of think, gosh, do they remember the past or do they want to remember the past? But from what you're saying, it seems like people really still do.
I think they do. I mean, you very often find groups of young people will go, for instance, to the Normandy beaches or the battlefields of the Western Front from the First War, and they're very moved by that experience. For young people to see large numbers of gravestones of young men and women of their own age is a very poignant experience, and I think it does enable them to realize the sacrifice of others. And certainly, I think that will always continue. But in terms of the present situation, you know, we've got families who have loved ones serving overseas. We've got families who, very sadly, have experienced the loss of loved ones right now. You know, we're reading about it in the papers daily and getting news back from Afghanistan about it all the time. That does heighten people's awareness, and it heightens their need for prayer and the concern of others. Tragic events for the families and for their countries, they do kind of, I think, bring home to people the need for reflection, for prayer, for turning to God at these times to seek aid and consolation and a deepening of faith.
For many, this deepening of the faith is repeated each year in our Christian feasts, holidays like Christmas, and Easter, which remind us so intimately of Christ's birth and resurrection. They're the feasts we normally celebrate in the warmth of home and closeness of family and friends. Not so for those on the battlefield.
Every opportunity is made to ensure that serving personnel have the opportunity for prayer, for Mass, for the sacraments, to really celebrate as best they possibly can in the situation they find themselves, to celebrate the birth of the Lord and the Incarnation, the Word made flesh. That very fact that God is amongst us, I think is so important for our armed forces to have that realization that wherever we are and whatever the circumstances may be, no matter how grisly they might be, God is there with us in that. And the Incarnation, the celebration of Christmas, obviously speaks to that very strongly, that we don't have a God who is distant, but rather we have a God who was incarnate for us and is with us wherever we are, is a very important line of inquiry, if you like, I think, for our troops, a place where they can feel at home with the Lord.
We're invited to remember and pray for the fallen soldiers in war and their families. We must never forget the veterans, especially those living with the scars of fear and conflict.
It's right that we remember those who've died, but also I would certainly ask everybody to pray for those who are casualties. We're seeing very bad wounding going on, some fairly grisly casualties coming back from theatre. And it's important to pray for them as they face rehabilitation, as they face a very often a very different way of life, living with injury, both physical and psychological too. People find they come back and they find it difficult to talk about what they've seen. We must pray for them and also pray for their families, because families, they are waiting anxiously at home for news of their loved ones. And when they do have relatives who come back, who may be wounded or who are having difficulties coming to terms with their experience, then the forces' families need a lot of prayer and support at this time too.
Bishop Richard Moth of the Chaplaincy for Britain's Armed Forces. So many of us, in every level of society, he says, have never known the ravages of war for ourselves. It is difficult, perhaps impossible, for us to understand all that our service personnel and their families are experiencing. May none of us forget, he says, that the greatest act of remembrance we can make for those who have given their lives in war, the best witness and support we can give to those who bear the scars of conflict, either as service personnel or their families, is to strive for justice and truth. For justice and truth drive out fear and are the foundations for lasting peace.